Here we are still at Locarno to talk about Ich ist ein anderer. It's a new film by Felix Rando, and I'm here now with the main actor, Claes Bang. Hi, Claes.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So first, how are you doing? How's Locarno treating you?
I think Locarno is treating me really, really wonderfully. It's great. We had the screening of the movie last night, and it really is a magical place, at Piazza Grande. It seats so many people. It's probably the biggest cinema I've ever been in. 8,000 people or something like that. So that was really impressive. And I had the feeling that all of those people that were there were really, people weren't running off to the loo or getting drinks or something. They seemed quite focused and concentrated and devoted to watching the movie. So it seemed good.
That's great to hear. And Piazza Grande is really an amazing place. So many people will tell me they just come to Locarno to see a film at Piazza Grande.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, but it was really something special. I've never, once before I was at an outdoor screening at the Somerset House in London, for The Square, when that came out in, I think, 17 or something. And that had sort of the same feel a little bit, but not nearly as many people. So this was really something else.
The film that you're showing is also really something else. Did you know that character, Felix Kresten, that you end up playing?
No, but you mean if I knew about him before?
If you had never heard of
him. No, I found out about him when Felix approached me for it, the project. This is back in the spring of 21. It's taken a long time to get this financed and get this on, and be honest and say that I thought a couple of times that this was never going to happen. For some reason, it was really difficult to get the finances together. And I heard yesterday that one of the things is how we present character that is Himmler. There is this thing, especially with German funding, that there's no way around the Nazis. They were all swine and they were all, I mean, criminals. And so you can't, they are really reluctant to finance something that shows them in perhaps a slightly different light. There's no doubt about that this guy was one of the biggest mass murderers, one of the biggest criminals ever, and we are not questioning that in the movie. This is a movie about him and the character that I play, who is his masseur. So we get to be with Himmler in a quite different way than we've ever seen before, because he's not really, it's not about all these atrocities that, I mean, it's about something else. The scenes with me and him are obviously me giving him a massage, and then we sort of talk about stuff at the same time, you know. So that was a very long answer to your question. So I think that is one of the reasons why that this has been, it's been difficult to finance it, or that's at least what one of the producers said in the press conference yesterday, that one of the reasons why this is controversial is that it's sort of set in stone how a Nazi is presented, at least the ones that were like at the top of that. So you can't really start doing so much else, and that made this a little bit difficult, because obviously we're with Himmler in another way in this movie.
Did you also research a lot Heinrich Himmler, because you had to play a character who was, and there's probably no doubt about it, that however many people Kirsten might have saved or not saved, he was very, very close to Himmler and knew him really well.
And it's really, really hard to find out exactly what is actually at the core of this. I did not research so much on, I did a lot of research on Kirsten, and of course on his relationship to Himmler as well. It's quite contradictory what's out there. It seems that there are accounts of this and this happening, and then there are accounts that are saying exactly the opposite thing. I think that's also been the objective of the movie. We've used this to sort of move it into the character. I mean, he definitely wants to be seen in a quite specific way. I think after the war, he felt he didn't get enough credit for what he had done. That's perhaps the biggest mistake he made, that he started exaggerating his effort in order to get people's attention. I think in his autobiography, it's quite obvious that he's lying, or that he is at least manipulating the truth to make himself look better. If he hadn't done that, we wouldn't have had a movie. I think that's the interesting point, that if he'd just found peace within himself, knowing I have done good, I have actually managed, through influencing Himmler, I have managed to save lives. People would have died had it not been for me. If he'd just known that in his heart, gone about his business, then we wouldn't have had a movie. It's only because it's probably vanity, right? That you want to sort of present yourself in a certain way. You want the world to see this. And therefore he started making up, he started doctoring the numbers a little bit. And that's when he became controversial. And obviously he was seeking the Nobel Peace Prize. And I think he was actually up for it like 5, 6, 7 times. Never got it through the these things, we sort of have a movie because now we can start to look into what was this guy trying to sort of present himself as and what is the truth. And there's no way of knowing that really. And I think that's been the objective of the movie, to sort of say, well, you can look at it from here and it'll look like that and that'll be that truth. Or you can look at it from here and you will see something else. And I think it's, in that sense, I think it's an interesting comment to make in the world today, in the sense, if somebody is presented with a fact that they don't like, they will just call it fake news. Right? That will happen right away today. So it's really important, I think, that you and I and everybody else, if we're presented with this truth or this fact, look into who's saying it and why are they saying it? Where are they coming from? What's their agenda? Are they trying to achieve something? Are they trying to sort of like antagonize somebody with it? Or so it's
irony of the abundance of news. In the past, when there were so little news, at least everybody believed in the same lies. Now we everybody believe in different lies and different truths. Therefore, we're always arguing with each other which one is the best truth or the best lie, and we might all be wrong.
And I think the challenging thing is obviously to try and navigate that. But I think we should try to do that, because that will sort of center it in ourselves and we will find out, okay, so with all this information, I have now looked at it and now I've chosen that this seems to be what I can sort of relate to. I think it's challenging, but I think it's demanded of us that we do it, that we question whatever is presented to us as a truth, to find out what is sort of at the core of it and what's behind it and who's saying it and what are they trying to achieve.
You play two versions of Felix Kersten. You play the character once in the present during the main plot events and then in the past. Did you see those as the same figure, or did you think of them as two different figures, since the movie is called I is somebody else, Ich ist ein anderer?
That's interesting. I don't think I've thought about it as two different guys. But there's no doubt, there's something that's really important to remember. I discussed this also a couple of years ago when I did a series for Apple, The New Look, about Coco Chanel and Christian Dior, playing sort of the guy that lured Coco Chanel over to the Nazi side. And I was talking with Juliette Binoche about this a lot, who played Coco Chanel. It's one thing that's important to remember. There is an innocence in this guy in the beginning, in the sense that in 1939, when he was summoned to the SS headquarters, the war was not on yet. The concentration camps were not on. It was obviously, if you got summoned to go to the SS headquarters, you would have to do it, because otherwise it might have severe repercussions for you and your family. So I think the guy that is in the main story of the movie, which is on a train, which is an interview on a train in 1952, looking back on those years with Himmler, there's some, perhaps innocence is the wrong word, but there's like that, the understanding that we have today of what happened during World War II.
It's pretty hard to predict that 6 million people will be killed.
That is one thing. But I mean, all the atrocities that we know about today, and that has made this a quite black and white thing for us. There's no doubt that the Nazis were just the villains. That is the truth that we have all come to accept now, and rightly so. But in 1939, all of these atrocities had not started to happen yet. They hadn't started to go to war with almost all the world. They hadn't started the concentration camp. They hadn't started systematically executing people for their beliefs or their religion or all these things that we know in retrospect. When Felix Kersten steps into the office of Heinrich Himmler on that day in 1939, he had no knowledge of it. There was like the fear that if you did not go there, you might end up getting beheaded or thrown in prison forever. So there was like a massive fear, I think. All these things that we know today and that they came to know about during the war. I think it's important to take that into consideration. And when you ask that question about, is that two different guys? I think there is, I mean, throughout those years, he will come to know and see stuff that he will not like and that he will try and work against. The fact that he did help people is undisputed. How many is the question? And that's also kind of interesting. I know it's been taken out of our movie because we had a piece of dialogue with Valerie and me where he says, so what would justify a membership of the SS? One life saved, two lives saved, 20, 200, 100,000. What's the number? That is impossible to answer. Nobody can answer that question. And that is perhaps him being clever and you know, asking a question that can't be answered. It's, of course, him trying to get out of the trap that he's now in. It's been revealed that he was a member of the SS, which he sort of denies for a very long time. It's been revealed, and now he's like, yes, but that was the only way of being close to Himmler, and that was the only way that I could act actually try and do something about this whole thing? How can you put a price on that? So I think there are so many really interesting issues here and themes. I can't play a theme or an idea or an issue. I can embody a character. Whatever scenes and whatever situations we have, that will bring out perhaps these themes. But on the day, that is what I do. So to come back to the question is, I think we sort of like work with him having a nervousness. Am I walking into the lion's den here? What will happen when I do what I don't want to do? Because I don't think he wanted to go to the SS headquarters. I don't. There's nothing to suggest that he was a Nazi sympathizer up until that point. He was not a member of the party. So I think he was quite reluctant to go there. But he, as he says in the movie, you'd heard stories about what would happen if you didn't.
Yeah, and he always looked for high-end clients, and top Nazis at a time when the party is rising and gaining power are definitely high-end clients.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe he did not so much care about their politics, but he cared about their status.
He cared about, yeah.
All that power that could destroy him could also work.
That is a valid
in favor of him.
Absolutely. I think that may very well be true, because there was definitely that thing that he was
very ambitious. He was very ambitious.
And had something with high-end clients. He absolutely did. And at that point, he did not know that they were mad killers.
Which actually could also be an argument for wanting to go there, you know, because you don't have a reason to be so fearful or morally abhorred by somebody.
I think there was a thing. I mean, he does say in the movie, and I think there was a thing of, you know, that you had heard stories about people going there and never coming back out, or refusing to go there and then getting into trouble. So it's all speculation. But I think what we operated on was that there was definitely a before and after where he, throughout the war, of course, found out stuff that is what we've all come to know now. And that, of course, changed him, I think. So you can't live through that and not be changed by it. And what he then went and did was, rather than just know that I've actually saved lives, he started to make up stories to sort of look better than he thought he did.
And last question, because I see again that we have to cut it short. So if people see you on the screen in this role, what would you hope are takeaway from this?
I have this feeling that, you know, when I have made a movie or a play, I've sort of had my say. So I don't like to tell people what to take away, how to see the movie, or what is important. I hope people will like it or enjoy it or take something from it, but I think they should take whatever they take. There's a little bit of an arrogance if I were to say, no, you have to watch it like this. This is what we're trying to do. This is what we're trying to say. Of course, there's stuff in there that's the ambiguity of the character, this whole thing of what is true and what is a lie. These are things that are in that story. I think people should watch it and take, I think anything that they take from it will be valid. And I'm always quite surprised when I meet an audience and they start to talk to me about, oh, so this and this and this. And then sometimes I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I never thought about that. But that's quite interesting. I think people should take whatever they take from it. I hope they will take something, but I don't want to be the guy to say what that should be.
It's a very good answer. So thank you so much for this interview, Claes.
Thank you so much.